Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to American Conservative Radio. My name is Tracy Coyle. I am your host. Did you notice that? I changed it to American Conservative Radio. Ambitious ain't I. I invite you to visit our website at AmericanConservativeParty.org. See what we're about. See what's going on. See what we're talking about. See what American Conservative Party stands for. This is our fourth show. We've had a fair amount of discussion about what is a conservative, what are American conservatives, what we're trying to do. Today I'm going to kind of change a little bit, talk about things that are a little bit more in the news. We received an invitation to attend the screening of the new David Zucker movie, An American Carol, a couple of weeks ago, and I got to go. It was not some conspiracy, and I wasn't pulling rank. I just happened to live the closest to where the premiere was going to be, and it was more convenient for me to attend. The event was scheduled for Sunday afternoon this past weekend, starting with a reception with the cast and entertainment by Lee Greenwood. You might know who that is. It's one of those people that you know the music, even if you don't necessarily know the name. If we have time, I'll give a review of the movie later. But I wanted to talk about what happened at the reception. A large number of the attendees of this reception and screening were delegates to the Republican National Convention. I hope most of you got the connection faster than I did. It was days before I stopped wondering why they would premiere a movie on a Sunday, Labor Day weekend, in Minneapolis. Come on, it's not exactly Hollywood or New York. But it finally dawned on me. I did get to meet a couple of the cast members. Kevin Farley, who is the lead, plays a Michael Moore type named Michael Malone. Yes, this is a spoof on Michael Moore. And Robert Davey, who plays a Taliban leader in the movie and does it very well, actually. He plays some pretty serious characters in movies. You would probably recognize the face immediately, even if you didn't recognize the name. I did miss the chance to meet John Voight and David Zucker, although they were in the room for a while. I did get to spend a fair amount of time with delegates to the convention, mainly from Nevada, Georgia, North Dakota, and California. Here's what I learned. Some people have a desire to get involved in politics that leads to good governance. Many people have a strong desire that this country live as much as possible the ideals we hold this country and ourselves to. Individual rights, personal responsibility, American exceptionalism. One of the first questions I asked everyone was, what did they think of Sarah Palin as the VP choice of McCain? The announcement had been made Friday afternoon, so this was fairly soon afterwards. Unanimously, people were both impressed by McCain for making the choice and by Governor Palin herself. I'm impressed, too. I didn't think McCain would go for a conservative. I really thought he would ignore the base. He didn't appear to have any reason to even consider us. He won the nomination without the base. And historically, people running for president appeal to the base in the primaries, and then move towards the center in the general election. McCain appealed to the center in the primaries. Why would he move towards the base? I'm very happy he did. And Governor Palin is an excellent representative of conservative values. Now, granted, this is my opinion based on less than perfect information. We're going to hear a lot more about her and her experiences and what she's done, especially hopefully from people from Alaska, and we will get a better idea of many of the things. But everything I've read to this point, everything I've heard about her so far, suggests that she's a good representative of conservative values. Do I know everything that there is to know about her? No. Do I think McCain knows everything that there is to know about her? No, but Is there things that I'm likely to be less than happy about? Sure. No one is the perfect candidate. No one meets everyone's definition of conservative. But everything I've heard and read suggests that we should be pretty darn happy. But let's talk about a couple of items that have already popped up concerning her. She announced on Monday, that her 17-year-old daughter is pregnant. I feel very sorry for the teenager and for the family. I mean, nobody wants, to have an early pregnancy. A teenager having a child is, never a great idea, in my opinion. CJ came into my life when I was 35. I think I was almost ready then. Almost. But I don't think the situation is damaging to Governor Palin, to her current position, nor to her vice president candidacy. Her support of her daughter and the apparent desire of her daughter to keep and care for the child is one that will have long-lasting ramifications for all of them for a long time. Whether or not the family can handle it, frankly, from everything that I've read, it appears that they'll have no problems dealing with it. Sarah Palin gave birth to a child with Down syndrome fairly recently, early in the spring. And by all measures, it appears that things are going very fine in that family. However, apparently, as well as the family can handle it, the left can't. Whether it's the left's contention that Governor Palin has to stay home and take care of her own newborn daughter, or that she needs to obviously stay at home because her family needs her there, the left seems hell-bent on finding something, anything, that will get her off the ticket as quickly as possible. Now, you got to wonder, why is that? If the left is right, if the left thinks that the issue with either the 17-year-old daughter or her newborn should be the reason to get Palin off the ticket, you have to gotta wonder why. Could it be that the experience of the Republican vice presidential candidate far exceeds the combined experience of the three men that happen to be running for president and vice president? Let's take Mr. Biden, Senator Biden. His 30-plus years in the Senate does not make him an experienced and viable candidate for anything other than bench warmer and armchair quarterback. Senator Biden, 30 years of watching a movie every Friday night does not make you an experienced film director. Hell, it doesn't even make you a decent movie critic. Sitting in the Senate makes you experienced at asking people that have done things stupid questions, which, by the way, you are apparently pretty good at. Barack Obama's 143 days of avoiding roll calls and running for president makes him an experienced candidate and nothing more. Barack Obama could write a book about what it takes to run for political office, but his experience lends no support to the idea that he can write a book, or that he knows what to do if he wins a political office, except for to run for something else. Oh, yeah. He did write a book. Okay. What was it called? The Arrogance of Hope. Audacity of Hope. The first time I heard that thing, I thought it was talking about Bill Clinton. But, silly me. While I might be more willing to concede that McCain has only marginally more experience than Biden because of his military service, 25 years in the Senate does not compare much better than the other two men. Given Governor Palin's experience, I would suggest that her joining McCain on the Republican ticket actually gives it weight. Dare I say it? Yes, I will. Her joining the ticket gives it gravitas. So while the left rages at this or that, you can be certain that the entire effort is to avoid making comparisons between Palin and Biden. And right now, the comparisons are between Governor and Obama. And they're showing just how little experience Obama does have. I would prefer to have Governor Palin one heartbeat away from the Oval Office much more than Obama or Biden anywhere within a mile of the Oval Office. Does this mean I'm considering voting for McCain? Yeah, considering it. And from the delegates that I met at the reception, I'm not alone. From things that I've been reading about people on the blogs over the last several days, I would suggest that a lot of people that said they would not vote for McCain are seriously considering voting for Palin. That's probably a good thing. I'm not convinced yet. The second thing that came up with the delegates is apathy. Over and over again, the issue of getting people to get engaged was a concern. Sam Gallo is our Director of State Organizational Development, and he's written about it in a blog post on our site. One delegate in charge of getting new members in his particular area of the state said that they've tried virtually everything, and getting new people into the process is worse than pulling teeth. Part of the problem that we seem to be having is getting people willing to step into the meat grinder of the political process. And Sarah Palin is an excellent example of someone that is very devoted to her community, to her state, to the citizens that she represents. And the amount of unbelievable crap that has come out in the last 3 or 4 days from the left should cause anybody thinking about politics to pause. Every kind of vile little rumor is getting spread. And, you know, part of her coming out and talking about her daughter's pregnancy was possibly in response to the idea that the rumor was that the child that was born in the spring was actually, in fact, her 17-year-old daughter's child, and that Sarah Palin pretended to be pregnant for 9 months so that she could take the child and care for it. Folks, you know, if we could just, like, talk to people and talk about people as human beings rather than as some kind of nightmare that has to be dragged through the mud, we would probably have a lot more people willing to step into the political process. The overall opinion of the left over the last 3 days is that they will do and say anything to smear Governor Palin. The delegate from the state that was trying to get people involved, this is what I said to him. This is what my suggestion was about how to get people involved. Get people to do just 3 things. First, call a campaign and ask for a sign for the candidate they want to support. Have the campaign put the sign in their yard. Easy to do, short little phone call. Give me your address, say I want a sign. Let them come out and put a sign out for you. Second, send $10. Not 20, not 50, not 100, just $10 to that campaign or any political campaign or to a political party. Just send them $10. Third, and this is the important part, explain to somebody why you did one of the first two. Talk to your neighbor about why there's a sign in your front yard. Talk to your in-laws, talk to your family about why you sent somebody $10. If we can get people to do just that, we can make a big difference in a bunch of campaigns. Here is something else he said. If a person with an R after their name is running in his district, they're going to lose. Period. Republicans have no chance in that district. But if they are a conservative Democrat, they can win every time. They're calling them Zell Miller Democrats. This is great news for us. I am convinced that conservatives exist in all political parties. The American Conservative Party will and can have former Republicans, former Democrats, even a few former Libertarians. And if we can get a few progressives to actually look at our principles and positions, I bet we could even get a few of them. But here's the deal. Unless we can get off our butts and engaged, we, not just the American conservatives, but all political parties, are going to be wagged by the fanatics of all stripes. The government has a purpose, and we have abdicated our responsibilities and allowed government to become something with too much power and influence. That is our fault, and we must correct it, not with laws, not with judges, but with our own actions. We as individuals have the right and the responsibility to control our destiny, to be part of society, to be active, informed participants in the political process. If we want a society that embraces the values we hold dear, the first action we must take is to live those values. Governor Palin, by everything that I've read so far, lives those values. We do not need to try and add laws. We don't need to change the Constitution or make others behave in ways that are acceptable to us. I'm going to welcome to the show fellow executive committee member, Bill Hinman. And Bill?
Hi, Tracy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I've been kind of suggesting that we have a problem with apathy. You and I have talked about it a little bit recently. Any suggestions from your point of view of what we can do to fire people up? McCain's choice of Palin has certainly fired up a fair amount of Republicans. I don't, and there's a lot of people conservative-wise that think she's a great idea. But is it enough?
You know, Tracy, I really have mixed emotions. I really applaud Senator McCain's selection of Governor Palin's nomination as Vice President of the United States. That was an outstanding pick for a variety of reasons, most of all because she's a conservative. I mean, she takes on people in her own party, prosecutes them, puts them in jail for corruption. Who cannot applaud that, whether you are on the left or the right side of the aisle? That is just an outstanding action.
I think it's funny that you call her a maverick. I would suggest to you that her actions are considerably more maverick-like than anything that McCain has necessarily done.
You know, I think it's unfortunate that we have to label somebody as maverick when that's what all politicians ought to be doing. Isn't it too bad that somebody who takes on people in her own party and the other party and prosecutes them for corruption and is successful, or at least her attorney general is successful in those prosecutions, and we have to label them as maverick? Isn't that what politicians ought to be doing? But even
no,
if they...
You know what? I disagree with you.
Okay.
And this is why I disagree with you. And you're going to kind of go, well, yeah, of course. I disagree with you that that's what politicians should be doing, taking on, corruption in their own parties, because, frankly, there shouldn't be the corruption in the first place. Why does she have to have her administration waste time going after politicians for doing things they're not supposed to be doing.
In one sense, you're right about that. In another sense, let me tell you that in my family, and I have to tell you, my two brothers and my sister are all libs, but I can't tell you the number of times we've had conversations about corrupt politicians. Now, granted, they want to point to the Republican corrupt politicians, and I say, yeah, that's true, but, you know, what about this over here on the Democrat side? But the point is, we know that we have corrupt politicians. I mean, look at Joe Biden. Now, Senator Biden has a son who's a lobbyist. His lobbyist's son testifies before Senator Biden's subcommittee about matters that Senator Biden is going to pass judgment on. Now, that is at the very least the perception of conflict of interest, and he did not recuse himself, as he should have done, in my opinion.
That's pretty much the definition. It's not a perception. I mean, it's pretty much the definition of conflict of interest.
And absolutely.
You got to understand, I come from Chicago. Okay.
Corruption
and politics. Well, that's how things get done. It's not a matter of something being right or wrong. It's simply how it works.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a fair amount of, to be perfectly honest, I can't say that it's just Democrats because, you know, we have a governor from Illinois currently serving prison time.
Yep.
You know, so the Republicans are just darn tootin' good at it too.
I think that that's my point, that politicians as a class are perceived, rightly or wrongly, as corrupt. So, if you're saying, even when they're not, that's true. But if you're saying that my focus is going to be on as Vice President of the United States, which is how I hope this all winds up, that my focus is going to be on corruption, then I say good on you. Let's root that out, and maybe we can get back to governance that is based on our principles of the Constitution of the United States of America. Because until we root out that corruption, it's business as usual. It's the good old boy network. It's I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. And that, frankly, is not the way. And I will tell you, my opinion is that because of that behavior for all of these years, people say, well, it's no use. I can't fight City Hall. I'm just going to try and live my life, and whatever comes along is going to come along, and I'm just going to try and live my life. I mean, how do you not become apathetic because of that kind of behavior on the people who are supposed to be setting the example?
Well, I think the problem is that, if you're faced with having to walk from Los Angeles to New York City, just considering the idea is enough to make you not even take that first step.
Exactly.
But if the first part of that is to walk, 1 mile,
mm-hmm.
let's start with 1 mile.
Yep.
Don't even worry about 1 mile. Let's just say I'm going to start to walk.
And I'm going to go to my corner of my block.
And when I'm tired, I'll stop. But until then, I'm just going to go ahead and walk. This is kind of where I was going with the idea that it's time for us as conservatives to start living the values we espouse.
Absolutely.
And Governor Palin is living the values she espouses.
Yep,
and
absolutely, no question.
Just the action of living those values is having an impact.
Yes, it is.
She's not going around the country saying, you have to live this way. You have to govern this way. You have to be this way or have these principles. She's going out there and saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to govern. This is what I am going to do. And those values become, you know, the example for us. And this is what I was trying to get to the idea to some of the delegates that I met up at the RNC. You know, if we simply hold those values, those conservative values that we think are so important, if we simply live those values, then that is something that people are going to see. We don't have to amend the Constitution. We don't have to get certain, you know, judges in the Supreme Court. We don't have to have new laws written to make things the way we want them to be. We simply live those values we hold dear in our life, and the more people that do that, the more society and government is going to reflect those values.
And I absolutely agree with that. I mean, if the statement that all politics is local is true, then when you live your life according to your principles, and you vote for people who uphold those principles, then you start to make progress.
You become a mayor of 9,000 people, a governor of a state, and a vice presidential candidate.
Yep. I know. I mean, her story is so excellent for that citizen that says, I want to be involved. I mean, what did she do? First off, she ran for her city council. Then she ran for mayor. Then, because she ran for lieutenant governor and lost, she got appointed to the Land and Oil Commission, or Oil and Land Commission in Alaska, resigned that position because she discovered conflicts of interest and corruption, and nobody would do anything about it. And because she was on the commission, she couldn't bring that public. So she resigned her position, said, okay, I'm not on the commission any longer. Now I can go public. Went public, got named names, times, places, and said, what are you going to do about that? Got people fined, got people sent to prison where they ought to have been, and then ran for governor and won 51% of the vote in a three-person race the first time she ran. And then she governed that state. And she has a 70-plus percent approval rating. I mean, what's not to like about this?
Well,
that is how people affect change. They say, I have to be involved, and I'm going to do it here at the local level. And then they move on up the ladder.
Well, I think she gives us a very good example to work from as individuals, and certainly as this party grows. I think the focus of working with these small community politicians, the city council members, the city mayors, I think this is the place where we need to be, and we need to find the people that are living these values and support them. And absolutely support them.
Absolutely.
Because the advantage to us as conservatives is that we will build up a large group of people that will have lasting impact upon
Absolutely.
Us. And, you know, I don't have to worry about one Supreme Court justice or
nope.
two. I can worry about the fact that I've got 90, you know, mayors and 40 conservative governors, you know, that will have a greater impact than one or two justices.
That's absolutely
true. We only have about 30 seconds left.
Yep. Did we mention the American Conservative Party website?
I did earlier.
Okay.
I'm going to do so again. Thank you. I'm going to suggest, I didn't get to the movie review. My movie review for American Carol is on the website. Please stop by, take a read. Again, this is Tracy. I'm your host, and we'll see you next week on American Conservative Party Radio.
Thanks, Tracy.